Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. And it's a beautiful Monday here in Florida. The date today is the day after Mother's Day. Let's see, May 12th, 2014. The sun is shining, and I had a wonderful weekend. I used to, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I've done some gardening. I used to live in California, and now I live in Florida. And the gardening is very different here, but I used to grow wonderful tomatoes and leeks and potatoes and all kinds of things, herbs. And it's just taken me a while to get used to the difference in Florida. But over the weekend, I was out walking around in the beautiful sunshine and on a lovely day with, and it's still not too hot. And I went to a farmer's market and I went to a nursery and I was just walking around and I just had to buy some plants. I bought some mint and some basil and different herbs, and I bought this wonderful plant that I don't know if they have it in any other place but Florida, but it's called a sweet almond plant. And it looks kind of like a butterfly bush, if you know what that is. It's got like these spindly kind of flowers at the end of the stem, and they're very beautiful and they smell wonderful. They smell like almonds. They smell like kind of like almond extract. And I bought two of them and I put them on either side of my front door. They're not in the ground yet, but they're about to be. And when I came home last night, I walked up to my front door and it just all smelled like almonds. It was so beautiful. So I'm really feeling I'm getting so inspired by all my guests that I'm having on about farming and gardening and growing your own food and all these things. And just over the weekend, it just all just kind of called to me. And so I'm looking forward to getting up every morning and doing a little digging in my garden. I think this is going to be really good for me because I used to love to do it. I just hadn't gotten back into it. So today, though, we're going to be talking about T-shirts, sustainability, and actually some other wonderful things that, as I was writing my guest bio this morning, that I didn't even think about for the show. But we're also going to talk about, Eric, I hope you're listening, we're going to talk about biodiesel, we're going to talk about sustainability, and we're going to have, it's going to be interesting. So my guest today is Eric Henry. He's the president and half owner of TS Designs, and they're a company that prints T-shirts using toxic-free and sustainable methods. And Eric.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Say good afternoon. We just now split past noon.
We did. I'm so happy to have you on the show. I got all excited about all these other things that you do as I was writing about them this morning. But first, let's talk about your business, what you do. So tell us, how did you get interested in doing T-shirts this way?
Well, it was the epiphany, course direction, or whatever. Our original business plan had nothing to do with the sustainability. Keep in mind, we've been in business for over 30 years. I actually got my start in college, basically just selling T-shirts to groups, organizations, and events just to help, you know, fund my college education. And that business grew to working with the major brands, companies like Tommy, Nike, Gap, Polo. We're what you would describe as a contract screen printer. Like, we are one of Nike's three T-shirt providers for the U.S. market. And so we built this business model, well over 100 employees working at TS Designs, very successful from the standpoint of consistent profitability, paid our employees well, good benefits, and everything was pretty much textbook successful business. And then in the mid-90s, 1994 to be exact, the NAFTA, North American Free Trade legislation, was ratified and put in place. And the brands could not get overseas quick enough. We went from a period of time where majority of our apparel was made in the U.S. to a time now where the number I use is 98% of our apparel is made overseas. So we saw our business completely be destroyed due to the global marketplace solely based on price. And that was the starting point or the catalyst to get start thinking our think about running our business a different way. Yes, profits are important, but we realize profits aren't the only reason we're in business. Fortunately, we've always had the components of what we call a sustainable business model, triple bottom line of people, planet, profit, have always been a part of TS Design. For instance, employees are by far our most valuable asset. Since day one, 30 years ago, we've had some type of retirement plan, some type of health care. We want to make sure employees are successful and paid as well as possible. And the same thing goes from our impact to the environment. I've been the driver of that, and I can't tie it to any particular thing except, as you were talking about gardening earlier, when I was growing up in downtown Burlington, my parents or family had no connection to farming, but I got interested in the gardening. And, again, 40 years ago, let's say, organic gardening was the standard default way of gardening. So that was when I guess I got my first taste of connecting to the system of nature and what our part is of humans interacting with that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I brought that mindset into our business. So way before NAFTA, mid-90s, we were doing things like, we were recycling way before recycling was mandatory. We started doing basically following permaculture principles in the management of our landscape to minimize our mowing and planting trees. So all those components were there prior to the NAFTA meltdown. And then when that hit and we saw our business get destroyed, we wanted to stay in the printed apparel business, but there wasn't a market at the time. Everybody says you need to either go out of business or get an overseas partner. So we charted out a different path and changed the mission of our company is that we want to be a successful company while simultaneously looking after people, planet, and profit. And we like to look at sustainability being this journey, not destination. So we've been on that journey of a triple bottom line since the late 90s and continue to go down that path and are a lot more fulfilled business-wise, people-wise, community-wise by running a business based on this triple bottom line compared to, where our model was prior to NAFTA. That's a quick snapshot.
Yes, I'm sure a lot has happened. Now, I just want to ask you, I'm looking at your website. This is tsdesigns.com. Do you sell, I was looking around, and I wasn't quite sure from looking around, if I were to go to your website and want to buy a t-shirt, can I buy one t-shirt? Or are you about printing lots of t-shirts for a company or organization?
No, we do have an online store. It is a fairly new part of our business. Definitely a very small part of our business. I mean, we are a custom wholesale sustainable printed apparel business, but we have people that want to support what we're doing, and they cannot, our minimum order, if it's undyed, is 72 pieces. If it's garment dyed, it's 200 pieces. But as this community grows, people want to reach out and be a part of it. So we do have an online section to our website.
I actually see it now. So listeners, when you go to their website, tsdesigns.com, you can go to shop. It's right there on the menu. And there are various t-shirts that you can buy with different kinds of sustainability messages on them, using the natural, more sustainable, less toxic technology that we're going to be talking about later in the show. So if somebody wanted to have a t-shirt made, then they could bring it to you and you could print it, but not just one. It would be in a larger quantity.
That is correct.
Okay, good. Good. Sometimes I think about t-shirts, but I need to figure out if I can sell 72 of them first. So I want to ask you about toxic chemicals that are used in the t-shirt business, especially with the printing process, but we're going to go to break, and so I'll just have you wait until we come back from the break in order to answer that question, because
sounds
I'm
great.
Sure that most people, I don't know what toxic chemicals are used to print t-shirts. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Eric Henry. He's the president and half owner of TS Designs. They print t-shirts using sustainable methods, and we're going to find out about those right after this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Eric Henry. He's the president of TS Designs, a company that prints t-shirts using sustainable methods. So, Eric, tell us about what's toxic about a regular T-shirt, especially a printed one.
Well, that goes back to, you know, we talked about our journey to be a more sustainable company. One of the first things we realized when we want to be this different company that not only looks at the impact through the bottom line, but impact planet, impact people, we print T-shirts. And what we, you know, realized, well, what is this ink that we're printing on T-shirts? Well, the ink that we were printing on T-shirts back in the mid-90s is still overwhelming the majority of ink put on T-shirts today, and it's called Plastisol ink. It is by far the industry standard. The challenge that you have with Plastisol ink is it contains PVC, polyvinyl chloride, and phthalates, things that we just don't need in the environment.
Right.
So one thing that we were realizing mid-90s is that what can we do to differentiate ourselves from the industry, and one of our missions is creating the highest quality, most sustainable print apparel. So we took a lot of the money, what money we had left after the devastation of NAFTA, and partnered up with a good friend of mine, Sam Moore, who's a chemist. Matter of fact, gets the credit for introducing the idea of the sustainable business model to us in the early 90s. And spent a year and probably $250,000 and to see if we could come up with a different way to print T-shirts. And we have done that. The process is called Rehance. The technology was later patented. But what we're doing differently, where most T-shirts are, what they do, they knit the fabric, they cut and sew the shirt, then they come back and print with that plastic resin that you go fill any T-shirt that you fill in the shirt, that over time cracks and peels and not always an uncomfortable product, but it's just not environmentally friendly product. So with the Rehance process is a water-based technology where we print a white shirt, then garment dye it. So the print actually ends up in the fabric, not on the fabric, doesn't crack, doesn't peel. You could iron it if you wanted to. And so that was our first major step in addressing, you know, the environmental impact. And then the thing, too, that's been the interesting journey is, you know, again, we were not 30 years ago planning to be going down the path that we are, but what it's caused us to do to ask questions, you know, for every product that we buy, every service that we utilize, what is not only the environmental impact, but the social impact of our decisions. And Rehance was the first major step of not differentiating ourselves from the industry, not only to produce a higher quality product, but also address the environmental impact. And then that evolved to 5 years ago, we took the next step, which is we developed a brand called Cotton of the Carolinas. Now, what Cotton of Carolinas, it really defines a supply chain. And as I was saying earlier, what I've witnessed in my 30 years in the apparel industry, 30 years ago, you know, 98% of the products, well, probably 30 years, 100% of the T-shirts we bought were made in North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia. I mean, 30 years ago, there was, I mean, you could buy maybe a shirt from India, but it was a very poor quality. Nobody used it. So we were pretty much 100% U.S.-made product, and what we were realizing, there were less and less T-shirts to print on Made in USA, so we developed this supply chain called Cotton of Carolinas, where we actually go to the farmer in New London, North Carolina, which is about 90 miles south of Burlington, where we're located, and we buy the raw cotton, and we take that raw cotton, and we convert it, what we like to say, we go dirt to shirt, we do it in 600 miles, we impact 500 jobs, and we do it in a completely transparent supply chain. We connect
that's
the
wonderful.
Consumer with the farmer.
That all products should be that way. All products should be that way. And just explain, just for our listeners who don't know what a supply chain is, could you just explain that a little more?
Well, every day we buy a product. We buy a cup of coffee, a tank of gas, you know, a new widget or whatever. That had to come from somewhere, and when it comes from where, it goes through a lot of steps. When you buy a cake at the store, I mean, you know, the flour had to come place, the eggs come from place. And unfortunately, one of the biggest challenges that we have in today's society is the lack of transparency. And nothing could be more truer than apparel, is it really breaks down two things. First of all, most people don't even pay attention where things are made, and that's the first thing we need to do. But then once you do find out where it's made, it's very, very difficult to go back and follow those steps. And what we do with cotton, the Carolinas, is we essentially give the in the shirt. As a matter of fact, we're going through a transition now. It used to be a tracking number, and now actually sewing a different color thread depending on the supply chain in the hem of the shirt. But we give them this information. They go to the Cotton of Carolina's website. They put in that information, and up pops a Google map. And in that Google map, you go all the way back to the Ronnie Burleson the farmer, or Wes the Jenner, or Mark the spinner. And we give you their picture. We give you their phone number. We give you their email. We give you the physical address. You can go visit anybody in our supply chain. And it's the only T-shirt that I know that has that complete transparency than we have. But I also like to reiterate, you know, it's not a perfect system. You know, the majority of the cotton that we are growing in North Carolina to support this supply chain is conventional GMO cotton.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, we did grow the first certified organic cotton ever in North Carolina, and that continues to be a struggle. Last year, 2013, it was we had a total loss due to record rains. I think it was like 17 inches of rain in 5 weeks or 15 inches of rain in 7 weeks, what it was, but essentially wiped us out. We had no organic cotton. But again, what I like to do is this is where we are. It's not where we want to, you know, back to that sustainability in a journey.
It's a step in the right direction. It's a movement in a direction. And the other day I was talking with an organic farmer about weather. She has a community-supported agriculture. And we were talking about that some years there's a good crop and some years there isn't. But it's what it is. It's humans interacting with nature instead of having this false sense of, well, we always have food on the supermarket shelves because it's coming from someplace else. And we'll talk more about this when we come back. We have to go to break. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Eric Henry. He's the president of TS Designs. They print T-shirts in a more sustainable way. They're on a sustainable journey. And we're talking about that. We'll talk about it more when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Eric Henry, president of TS Designs, a company that prints sustainable T-shirts. Well, they're on a journey to turning to sustainable T-shirts. Some are more sustainable than the others. But during the break, Eric, I went to cottonofthecarolinas.com, and I took a look around at what you were talking about. And this is a very interesting site, and listeners, please go there to cottonofthecarolinas.com. What he was talking about, dirt to shirt, if you click on dirt to shirt, it shows you the whole entire 9 steps. You can click on each step, farm, gin, spin, knit, finish, cut, sew, print, dye, and you go to a page that shows you exactly how they do it. And then you can, the next link on the menu says track your shirt. And if you click on track your shirt, it gives you the instructions about their tracking method, but then you can go there, and I actually went and tracked, and there's a map, and you choose, so there's a drop-down menu. You can, and when you choose the number that is printed on your shirt, actually maybe sewn, embroidered, or whatever, there's a new method they're using now with a particularly colored thread. And so you choose the color of your thread, and it shows you exactly on a Google map where the cotton was grown for your shirt. And you can also buy some shirts on that website. You can buy the shirts that Eric and his company have printed. And it's just this is now the second website that I've seen that has this kind of transparency about the supply chain. And we're going to talk to someone else who does that in a couple of weeks. But this is what I think every company should have. Every product should look like this so that consumers can look at this and say, I want to buy this or not want to buy this, and that they can compare it with other products that they might be considering. And I think that the more companies do this, the more we're going to be able to understand Eric, this is the, I just want to just applaud you for doing this. I want to stand up on a table and jump up and down and applaud you because the problem, I've been doing my work for more than 30 years as a consumer advocate, looking for toxic-free products to recommend to consumers and having to evaluate how toxic something is or find a safer alternative. And the biggest problem that I've run into is I don't know what's in the product. And finally, we're getting to where we have some idea of what are the ingredients, and more manufacturers are revealing what the ingredients are. But now there's this whole thing about the supply chain where we really need to know where are the toxic chemicals or the things that are not sustainable all the way down the making of the product. And we just don't have information. And so it's just a happy day for me to see this. Bravo.
Well, Deborah, I mean, I think that's where we all need to go to because it's not a question of what's right or what's wrong. The consumer just needs the information. I mean, we're going through something similar in with fracking now in North Carolina, and we want to require the companies to disclose what they'll be putting down these wells. And they come back and says, no, it's proprietary. It's, you know, it's our competitive edge. And I says, we just can't deal in that environment anymore. We have got to have this information. Again, we are not a completely sustainable company. There is a lot of room for improvement. But at least everybody knows where we stand. Like I'd like to tell you, when they come to TS Designs, I will take you anywhere. I will show you anything. I'll answer any question. If I can't get you the answer, I'll get you the answer. But we've got to get away from this mindset of, you know, this is my secret. I'm going to hold it because that secret has impact on other people. And we've just got to move. And we have found, you know, it builds a better relationship with our consumers, knowing that we are what we are, and you know, at least it's a better foundation for a working relationship than just keeping it a big secret.
I totally agree. And you know, another thing, I used to many years ago, I used to belong to a business club in San Francisco called Briar Patch, and one of the things that we learned in Briar Patch was to be totally open about everything. This was before, way, way long time ago. And you may have heard, there's a practice called, I think, open books, where I mean, it's not something that I do, but I'm familiar with it. And it's, for listeners who may not know what this is, open books is where you publish all your financial things of your company, like what you're spending money on, how much people are getting paid, everything. And that the purpose of that part of it is not only transparency, but it also allows customers to come in and give you suggestions and not tell you what to do, but give you suggestions on how you could be more efficient or how you could, you know, maybe instead of spending money over here on this supplier, that maybe you might want to go to a different supplier that costs less and then you could have more profit or that you could lower your price or whatever. But what it does is it allows the customer to be involved in the whole process. And I know that might sound scary to some businesses, but I think it's a wonderful thing because I like to see, I don't know everything. I, you know, I'm a consumer advocate. I'm studying this stuff all day long and have been doing it for more than 30 years. And I can just imagine how much an average consumer doesn't know and how much they don't want to participate. They just want to go and buy something off the shelf. Well, I think that everything that's on the shelf ought to be, number one, safe to use. But if you do want to participate, like there's more, like Eric was talking about taking people on tours and showing people things. I mean, you can see it all on his website. It's like taking a tour of his business. And I just love that idea of people being able to help if they have a helpful suggestion to make.
I could agree with you more. I just, you know, that there's just so much more to gain by sharing information than with withholding information. But it is challenging for businesses to go down that path. But I can tell you, somebody that it's been on this path since, again, the mid-90s. It is just a lot more fulfilling way to run a business. And I think, too, what it does, it aligns yourself with customers. You know, we're in a commodity market. And I always like to say, if people are coming to us, and they're only looking for the cheapest T-shirt. And I said, we're not going to be your place. There's going to be places always going to be cheaper, and that's fine. Let them do that. But, you know, our customers see the value beyond price. They see a social value and or an environmental value.
Yes.
That's why our customers are a Clif Bar or a Whole Foods or Organic Valley. You know, these people could, no question, go buy a cheaper T-shirt, but they want to basically be buying a higher quality product, work with a company that they know that works transparently, and basically represent their values. That when Organic Valley gives this shirt or sells this shirt, what they do with them, it meets their values, and it's not
That's
something
exactly right.
that would just solely bought upon price.
Right, right. We need to go to break again. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Eric Henry, president of TS Designs. We're talking about sustainable T-shirts in the clothing industry. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other things that Eric does, which are very interesting. So stay with us. To Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Eric Henry, president of TS Designs. They're in North Carolina or South Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. It's beautiful there. I love North Carolina. So tell us about some of these other things. First, I want to talk about you founded in 2001, you founded the Burlington Biodiesel Co-op, and you have a biodiesel car that you run on biodiesel or straight vegetable oil that you now have over 250,000 miles on it. Well, I want to tell you that I used to have a vegetable oil car. I didn't get 250,000 miles on it because my ex-husband took it. So, but we did a couple of trips across. We drove all the way across the country from California to Florida a couple of times, picking up vegetable oil along the way. And that was a challenge because we had to make sure that we could actually find more vegetable oil before we ran out. It was a fun thing to do. So tell us about your biodiesel car.
Well, you know, all these things that I guess I have found myself personally and business-wise get involved in is the learning process, and our energy consumption is having a tremendous environmental impact. It's, you know, I got to remember 30 years ago, climate change was not in our vocabulary. Now it's front and center as one of the most challenging things that our society will now face. So as you learn about these things, you says, well, you know, you got to have a car. So then the first thing you do is, we'll get a car. I went from, I transitioned from your basic focused bottom line business that is a nice big BMW fancy car, and went real fast and got poor gas mileage, and slowly evolved to a Subaru. And matter of fact, I was in Hopland, California 12 years ago, I believe. And that's where first time I learned about biodiesel. I had no idea that you could take waste vegetable from French fries and convert it to make a fuel. Then I went back to that same conference the next year and bought the first equipment that this company made. It's called a Fuelmeister. Brought it back here and started making fuel. And since that time, I said that my car now has about 270,000 miles on it. All our vehicles in our family, my wife drives a diesel Mercedes. We've got a diesel pickup truck. We now live on a farm because of that. And we got a diesel tractor. So it's just kind of like, you know, being connected to your food and know where your food is grown. It's exciting to be connected to your energy and help produce that energy. And just, it's the value of relationships that you know, in making that connection and feeling that you're doing your small part to leave a positive impact. And again, like I tell people, I didn't know about biodiesel 12 years ago. And again, biodiesel is not the solution. The one solution on energy problems is one of the many solutions that we've got to, as we wean ourselves off of fossil fuels. This is, and again, the thing about the South, we fry a lot of food, so there's no shortage of waste vegetable oil. And since that time, we have, I guess we're partnered up. There's a we're just a small scale. We do like 100-gallon batches a couple of times a month. But there's a company that started about the same time we started making biodiesel, Piedmont Biodiesel, down in Pittsboro, North Carolina. And they are a commercial. They're a full scale. They do about probably a million gallons a year of biodiesel based on so we have actually a retail station in front of our building. And I don't know if this one thing you noticed on our map or on our website, TS Designs, we have this virtual map. And of this virtual map, it points out the many different sustainable things that we do. And in addition to making biodiesel here, we also sell biodiesel here. But that's an important part of it. You know, again, we're on about a four-acre piece of property. We have a large-scale garden. We have chickens. We have honeybees. All this, the food and the honeys and the eggs go back to our employees because we also know we got a broken food system.
Wonderful.
So we want to connect our employees back to a healthy food system, and we are able to do that at our facility here. So that's one of the many things that you'll see on this map that's on our website.
Well, I'll have to look for that. I hadn't run into that one yet. So we only just have about 5 minutes left. Tell us about what you're doing with your 12-acre farm.
My wife and I moved to Snow Camp, which is about 15 miles south of Burlington. It's the Piedmont area of North Carolina, central part of North Carolina. And the main reason we wanted to get out there, well, I guess two reasons. My wife is big into horses, so she wanted horses in her backyard. And I want to be closer connected to my agriculture community. Not only I'm just a hobby farmer, nothing big scale at this point, but we do a little farming on it. We grow a slew of vegetables. We have about 17 chickens. We have honeybees there. But my back door neighbor, Charlie Sidner, Brabham Farm, does grass-fed beef. My neighbor that's across the field does pasture pork. We are very fortunate in our community, that especially during the summer months, you know, 90% of the food comes right from the community in which I live. And just being closer connected to that group of people, we just find it so much more satisfying than just, you know, going to the store. Although we helped start a cooperative grocery store, getting ready to have our 3rd year anniversary in downtown Burlington 3 years ago, and we created a store that's owned by our community. It's a 10,000-square-foot store with the focus on local. We have over 2,900 owners. This store is owned by our community, so it supports and the money stays in our community. So I've been involved in a lot of different sustainable agriculture ventures. You know, it's just, to me, you get the great satisfaction of being connected and knowing where your food comes from.
Yes.
And then the last thing that we've done on our farm is we're in the process of, this was a house that was already built, much bigger house we need, but a well-built house 20 years ago. But we're on a mission to make it a net zero energy home, i.e. Produce as much energy as we use. So we have a geothermal system in place now. We just put a 4.3 solar array on the roof. So these last couple weeks of sunny weather, you know, we have been essentially run completely off the grid. We're still connected to the grid. We have ice storms and bad weather and stuff out there, so I'm not giving my grid connection yet, but we are probably producing a good 70 to 80% of our energy now on our property ourselves, instead of, you know, prior to it just, you know, connected to the grid. So, again, it's taking that same journey that we started at our business and now, you know, taking it back home.
I think one of the things that has made the biggest impression on me listening to you today is the concept of really seeing it as a journey, because I know that a lot of people look and say, well, I want something to be perfect, you know, that it has to be 100% this or 100% that. And yet there's so many changes that we need to be making today, moving in a direction that we have to look at the things that are step by step, because to make a change often is a step by step process. I mean, I've been eliminating toxic chemicals from my life for more than 30 years. And I would say that I live in a toxic free home, but I can't, it's not 100%. It's toxic free enough to make a big difference in my health. But like, one would be hard-pressed to live a modern life and not have plastic. But I eliminate all the plastic I can. But I can't eliminate the plastic telephone or, you know, the microphone or, you know, my computer isn't plastic. It's made out of metal and glass. But, you know, there's just things I eliminated everywhere I can, but it's not 100%. But you can do so much more by just starting. I want everyone to understand that you can just wherever you start, just start and move in a direction and buy a less toxic product, move towards sustainability, see about what you can grow in your backyard. Just any of these things will all help us have a world where we can sustain life in the environment, in our own lives, sustain our businesses, have human relationships. It's just... I see this whole, I mean, in comparison to where we were 30 years ago, wouldn't you say we've come a long way?
Yes, very much so. But it is a journey. You know,
it is a journey.
You've got to move forward, learn, be willing to change and adapt.
Yeah. Well, we've got 2 minutes. Any last thoughts you want to give us?
Well, again, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show today. And I think, you know, what we like to say at TS Designs is that, you know, we're always learning. We like to say our best customers are educated customers. So always be willing to connect with your community because, you know, your success and happiness depends on the wealth and the happiness of your community. So connect with them. And then also just, as I said, is get on that journey because, I said, we've got to – unfortunately, we've adopted a lot of bad habits over the you know, the last few decades, we got to start changing those. But it can be a positive thing at the end where we'll all benefit and it will be, you know, worth all the challenges that we're going through to get there. But, again, I do appreciate the opportunity to be a part of your show. And if any of your guests want to reach out to me, they can find me at tsdesigns.com.
Thank you so much. And I hope people contact you. If I'm ever driving by going someplace or another, I'm going to stop in and see you.
We'd love to have you. Stop by anytime.
Thank you so much. Okay, that was my guest.
Have a great day.
You too. That was Eric Henry. He's the president of TS Designs, and his website is tsdesigns.com. But you should also go to cottonofthecarolinas.com to find out how their shirts are made. You can also go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and find out who's going to be on in the future. I always publish the list of guests for the week. You can also go there and go to the archives and listen to this show again or any of the other almost 200 shows that are there now. And there's lots of information, lots of things that you can do to be less toxic. Just find out. Be well.